everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
I am MTG Peddler.
I'm Slothy.
And I'm DJ Longhair, special guest. Woohoo!
What's going on, DJ L?
Just chilling, man. Very busy weekend. Got injured, so I'm recuperated now, but that was a fun experience.
It's never a good way to break out the weekend.
Not at all, man. I've been kind of laid up. I'm like, I was going to do some content was it Friday and Saturday, and I was just out of it, man. So I'm back. I'm okay. I have four staples to get removed later this week, though, so that's pretty awesome.
Ooh, staples are never fun.
No, they sting like a mofo.
I've experienced them once. They are not fun.
No, yeah. Not at all. Well, we're glad you're here, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, man.
Proudly sponsored by NorthValleyGames.com, where you can use the promo code TC2021, save 10% off your order, and the program where you're buying your singles and give you an extra 10% cash. Partnered with Magic the Gathering Players Group, Facebook group, and Cosmic Gaming Community.
Good guys over there at North Valley Games.
Yeah, I love them.
We got Jeff and JJ, awesome dudes. They're also my sponsor too. So,
and they get around.
Yeah,
I know, right? Started off with me, and then he must have fell in love with John's voice. I can't blame him, though. And 5-7 Gaming's also, or was it 5-7 MTG now? Anyways, he's one of our fellow sponsor bros as well, so awesome.
570 MTG, !! I do believe.
Thank you for the correction, John. I appreciate it.
I believe. I could be wrong. So if you're searching for it, right. I apologize.
Yeah, for sure, but good guy.
Yeah, very, really good guy. Luke's a great guy.
I want to start things off by just talking about a charity we're going to be doing. It's called Magic the Gathering Content Creator ACS Brawl Tournament. It's going to be for...
Say that five times fast.
I know, right? It's going to be for the American Cancer Society.
Nice.
There's going to be a bunch of us Magic the Gathering content creators coming together and playing Magic the Gathering and raising money for a good cause. Stay tuned for more information about that, and we will fill you guys in.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Always good to give back.
Yeah, it is. My aunt passed from cancer, so definitely well aware of the cause, so I wouldn't mind joining if my computer will handle it.
And you're having computer issues too? Dude, I tried to record a video the other day, and my laptop was just like, no.
Yeah, it was just freezing up. It just slowing down and freezing up. And it's like... You know?
Yes. Well, for me, it's worse. Like somehow my recording software got corrupted and my webcam got corrupted. So like whenever I switch on my camera, it just blue screens. I was like, oh no. So I've been spending the past couple of days like figuring out a workaround. I finally got a video to work properly, which is great because we're only like, you know, T-minus 5 days before I get my first collector's box of Modern Horizons 2. I'm like, well, I got to think of something pretty quick here.
Yeah, no, I would get my computer fixed, but then I'm out on videos. I could post right from my phone, but you know I can't edit or do any of that fun stuff. So I get you, man. And I'm also spent because of MH2 as well.
Oh, I can't wait. So pumped.
I know.
Oh, you're gonna love some of these questions we have from the listeners later then, Russ.
Oh, nice.
Page two is gonna be Peddler.
Yeah, so this week we have a little bit of like, I would call it minor news, but it's still news, so we're going to cover it. So this information is via Saffron Olive. You may know him better as Seth. He's from MTG Goldfish. The Phyrexian creature type, as seen on like, you know, most recently on Vorinclex from Kaldheim, is now going to be a subtype. So all Phyrexian cards previous and going forward we'll have the Phyrexian creature subtype, and that does include like stuff like the tokens generated by living weapons, the germ tokens. If you look at Modern Horizon 2 and look at their germ token, it does say in fact on there, it says Phyrexian on there. So there you go. Phyrexian germ is what it actually says for those who can read, because I had to pull it up real fast.
Nice.
So just a little minor news, but it's notable if you are a fan of Phyrexian. There you go. Phyrexian tribal, baby.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite Phyrexian right now is that one white one where you pay X and all your creatures are XX. Shapeshifter. I'm just kidding. Mirror entity, I think it's called.
Stop it. Yeah. It's not blue. You're not playing it, man. Come on.
All my friends now are 2020.
That's right.
And Slothy, you've got some Magic the Gathering Dungeons and Dragons news.
Yes, I do. So there was recently a leak on Amazon for a new Dungeons and Dragons adventure book. It's a crossover with Magic, and it is called Curriculum of Chaos. And this is set in Strixhaven. And you're going to have to, there's not really much that's known about it right now, but it does say on the little ad here on Amazon that if you tune into D&D Live 2021, which is presented by G4 on July 16th and 17th, they'll fill you in on a whole bunch of details, including new character options, monsters, mechanics, story hooks. And I'm really excited for this. As some of you may know, both John and I are quite big fans of D&D. Oh, so,
yeah. I grew up with Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
Can I say something real quick? Oddly enough, this would be actually the third crossover if you include the D&D set, but this will actually be the third D&D crossover. Do you guys remember when they did the stuff for Ravnica?
Yeah. I've run both of those books, actually.
Oh, nice. Okay. So, it's funny because people are saying that, this is the very first run or the first crossover. I'm like, no.
No.
Plus, they had those expensive dice. I really wanted to get them, but I don't. I personally don't do D&D. I'm kind of a visual person. But I have nothing against it. Just saying that this is the third crossover now.
I will say, after Magic came out, so in the mid-90s, after Magic came out, right? Magic, Dungeons & Dragons had little cards. Now, I don't think they were a game. I think it was like a supplement to the actual Dungeons & Dragons game. Where you
Correct.
Pull out a card, like if it was a potion or you pull out a card, it was a half-elf, and it tells you everything about it, you know? And so I think this is the first time where there's a Dungeons & Dragons Magic the Gathering crossover where Dungeons & Dragons comes over into the cards.
I think. Over Magic cards, you are correct, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's not the first time Magic has ventured over into the Dungeons & Dragons world.
Correct.
And I've never played D&D, so I don't know anything about it.
And even so, there's no like official crossovers. There's some cards that are some Magic cards that are very similar to like specific spells in D&D as well.
Oh yeah,
but this is like the first official one.
Now we're really gonna get them.
I'm like the worst nerd ever. I don't know D&D at all. I've never seen Star Wars, any of them.
I'll tell you what, help me out understanding math. And a little bit of spelling and writing. It did, growing up.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm.
Serious on that.
I don't know. I've never had a real life experience where I needed to know THACO, so.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one. You know, you get the idea. It's a piece of paper, pencil, dice, your buddies around you.
Yeah.
Midnight, bag of chips.
Oh, I'm not hating on it at all. I'm just completely ignorant to it. I know nothing about it besides it's, you know, character sheets and rolling dice. That's all I really know. I'm just full on ignorant on it.
We appreciate your honesty, that's for sure.
Hey.
Let's move over to Card of the Week. And this week, Card of the Week is your Card of the Week. That's right. We asked you on the Facebook group, what do you want Card of the Week to be? Your voice is heard. Scatterfang Squirrel General. It costs 1 green and 2 other. Legendary creature, Squirrel Warrior. It has Forest Walk. This creature can't be blocked as long as defending player controls a forest. Also, it reads, if one or more tokens would be created under your control, those tokens plus that many 1/1 green squirrel creature tokens are created instead. It has one more thing written on it. Black, sacrifice X squirrels. Target creature gets plus X minus X until the end of the turn on a 3/3 body. What do you guys think about this bad boy?
I love everything about this card.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat for that one.
I like every word I'm seeing on this card. Yeah. You guys know me well enough. I do not play Commander, but I absolutely love squirrels, and I would absolutely make a squirrel tribal deck because it looks amazing. And I also, I'm big on token decks too. I used to play like a white black meanie token deck back in like Lorwyn. Time. So it's like I'm big on token decks too. So like everything about this card I just absolutely love.
I'm a huge fan. Just like Peddler said, I'm a big squirrel freak as well. just love squirrels. You know, I don't get to play with them too much because they're not in standard, and I don't have too many squirrel cards for commander, but it is awesome. There's also a lot of good support for squirrels in the MH2 set, but there's another one I wanted to note. I'm trying to find the card. You guys will probably be able to pull it up quicker than I do, but there's the one card wherever you would put out a token. There was one that if you put out one token, you put out three tokens.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I'm trying to pull it up.
Mere Battle Spear, was it?
No.
No, it's from Modern Horizons 2.
Oh, okay.
It makes a clue token, a treasure token, and something else.
Right. And that would be any time that you would do one of those three. So with Chatterfane, you would actually get, not only would you produce the token that whatever token would be produced, but you're producing the three tokens on top of that. So whatever you produce that token with and the three tokens, that means you're also putting out 4/1/1 squirrels. So that's pretty dope.
Yeah. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, this sounds super fun. I still haven't pulled up the name of said card. I'm on Scryfall right now looking for it.
And I'll tell you what, for three, I mean, you know, one green, two other, I was wondering why it was mythic rare. You know, I mean, I understand it's got Forest Walk and these two other abilities on a three body. But then once you mention the fact that you can combo this with other things, I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, there's also part of Chatterfang 2 where you could sack. I'm trying to pull up the other card, but there was a second part of, here it is. Yeah, where you could sacrifice X squirrels and do a plus X and then minus X. So you can pump your own dudes or kill off something scary, such as an indestructible, I don't know, a Drazi. If you had X amount of squirrels, you could just knock them out real quick, or any big threat on the board. If you have a ton of squirrels, you could just take it out.
Academy so, manufacturer. It's Academy manufacturer. If this is also coming out from Modern Horizons 2, it's a three generic artifact creature assembly worker. If you would create a clue, food, or treasure token, instead create one of each on a 1/3. There it is.
That's the one I was looking for. Thank you, John. So you have that. There's also another one. If you're sacking all those creatures, or you lose a token to battle or whatnot, there's a card from, gosh, was it Ixalan or Rivals of Ixalan? I forget which, but something pilferer. Basically, when a token or creature would die or something, you would gain a treasure token. So you can almost go infinite combo with that. Not to win the game, but you can end up pumping out mad tokens.
Is that non-token creature though?
It is a creature. Yeah, it's I think it's like a 1/2 or something.
Are you talking about Pitiless Plunderer?
Yes, thank you.
1/4 whenever another creature. So it can be
other tokens,
token or non-token.
Correct.
That is create a colorless treasure artifact token.
Yeah, it combos well with that as well. You know, just saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, you are onto something too, Russ, because for the beginning players, this will help with your indestructible problems. So how there's wording around everything in the game of Magic, if it's indestructible, it can't be killed by lethal damage. Minus X on this will destroy that indestructible creature. This is not doing lethal damage. This is a different terminology.
The lethal damage or destroy effects do not harm indestructible creatures.
Yeah. So in said deck, if you were running commander, you would have Chatterfang as your commander. Another land card also from MH2 would be Yavimaw, Cradle of Growth. That turns every land into a forest in addition to other land types. So boom, you got your Forest Walk, whether they have forest or not. Makes that pretty brutal. With Pitiless Plunder, once your creature dies, or say you block the creature, you're creating a creature token, so then you're getting that 1/1 squirrel back with Chatterfang. So you could see that it does the things.
It's gonna be real hard to knock this guy off the throne as a commander, wouldn't you say?
Nah, he's only a 2/3, right?
He's a 3/3.
Oh, 3/3. Okay, my apologies. But I mean, you could bolt it. I mean, it's easy to get rid of. But still, if you don't have any answer to it, it can get out of hand real quick and wide super quick.
Yeah, you got a point there.
Hmm?
I like that squirrel.
I like just squirrels.
And this week, the Movers and Shakers. Peddler, you have Movers and Shakers this week.
That I do. Movers and Shakers this week. If I could pull up the correct tab. All right. So starting at the bottom, we have Teferi, Master of Time, holding steady at that $9.99 level. And Rees the Redeemed, trending down, now down under $6, $5.92. And Professor Onyx is also trending down slowly at $13.85. And then number four this week for the biggest gainers, we have Vindicate, which is, looks like from Mercadian Mass. I can't really see. Apocalypse, I believe.
Apocalypse, yes.
That is up 149% at $32.12. Destroy target permanent. Cost one generic, a white and a black. Number three is going to be Footsteps of the Goryeo, up 137% at $12.99. Number two is going to be Crashing Footfalls, up 338% and is at $3.99. And rounding out the top this week, we have Nyx from Future Sight, up 508% at $8.88. Anything on that list sticking out to you guys?
Just kind of bummed about Lily.
Rise the Redeemed. I didn't know he was that much, really. I thought he was like a dollar, maybe three.
I think that card pumped not too long ago, actually. Let me check the chart real fast.
But Redeemed was just the green one, right? What was the green, white?
Green and or white. Green
oh,
or white.
Yeah. Well, the hybrid it should go up, actually, because you can make tokens. And then, of course, we just talked about Chatterfang, and you can make even more tokens. So I could see an upward trend on that. But
I mean, right now it was $8 back in January, so 6 months on. We're down to just under $6, so it's not really like, you know, it's not like it's plummeting.
Yeah.
Oh, I see why Nyx is kind of cool. It helps with a cascade. So if you guys
and evoke as well.
And yeah, and evoke, that's correct. Counter target spell if no mana was spent to play it. So there you go. It makes sense. Cascade and evoke are huge in Modern Horizons 2, so it kind of makes sense that Nyx is seeing some love.
Russ, you got something exciting you're working on, right?
I got a few things. First off, obviously want to plug the show that joined that John Noyce here joins me in on. Although Peddler hasn't shown up for a little while, would love to have you.
I haven't shown up anywhere, honestly. So don't feel hurt. Don't feel hurt by me.
Yeah, no, but we do.
It's not you, it's me.
Yeah, right. So John joins me most weeks, and it's called MTG Roundtable. I do it every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And just like John's show here, we talk everything Magic, although I do have a tendency to touch base on some of the financial things, but not like completely MTG finance, but just kind of noticing a few trends, noticing a few other things, and we just discuss everything Magic. So I'd love to have you guys come join us on that. And there's another show that I do every other Saturday, although, like I said, I was injured, so I didn't do my show yesterday. But anyways, about twice a month, I try to get in there, and it's called The Order of the Red-Eye Knights. And basically, we talk movies and shows, maybe some good suggestions if you guys watch it, for when you're sorting cards or something, need to throw something on Netflix or Prime, you know, just different stuff that we notice, just kind of a little talk about movies and a little pop culture references. So it'd be cool if I got to see you guys show up for that. But there is a project I am working on. You are correct, John. And that is, I'm trying to fill up spots. I have, I don't know, have you guys ever done the color break before?
Yes, I've done it before.
I'm aware of them. I've never done them.
Yeah. So it was actually inspired by old man MTG. I hope we see them pop up again. It was someone that you were really pushing hard there, Peddler. But
the main guy over there, Silver Fox, he's been under the weather past couple months. So if anyone knows him and is listening, just send him all of our love. He's a wonderful guy.
Please do. They're both really really cool people. But basically, the way it works on this particular one, because I wanted strengths, so it's, if you guys want to participate, I will probably be doing it live, so drawn live. It's $44 a spot, and I got two spots filled. I got four spots to fill up, so we're looking at $44. It's random, so it's going to be white, blue, black, red, and green, and then I comboed the colorless and the multicolor. And on top of that, you don't know what you're going to get there. You're going to end up with one spot, or you can buy multiple spots. Doesn't matter. But we're going to battle CMC, and we'll do a vote. It'll even split between high CMC and low CMC. I'm not sure. We're still working on it. But basically, we're going to battle it out for the land spot. So there goes your fetches and the new lands. So I think it's going to be pretty fun. I always have fun doing these box breaks. I also have a battle going on, too. As I end up with two extra boxes of Modern Horizon 2 set boxes, and that's going to be $44 a spot as well. I have five spots left on that, and that's basically you're going to get four packs for the 44. The high CMC is going to win an additional four packs, and low CMC is going lowest rather is going to win themselves an additional two packs. So pretty exciting. I don't know if you guys are into battles and whatnot, but if you guys want to help me out, I won't say no, and it'll be super fun.
I didn't want to correct you, but it's called mana value now.
Yes, mana value. Okay.
Converted mana cause. Remember those days?
Yeah. I mean, Lorehold was a good name change for Boros. And yeah. Witherbloom, I'm still trying to get used to saying. But like Prismari or any of the other Strixhaven new names, I'm still an old school head. I'm going to be calling it the, I'm going to call it Is It, you know? I mean, come on.
Is It Simic? Yeah.
Yeah, so
we have more old school than you. I call it black green.
Yeah,
well, I'm not down with the Ravnica terms, so it's like I'm black green.
Yeah,
what am I gonna do with my Golgari tattoo?
Right. Although if you're a chemist, the new logo is kind of cool, but yeah. I don't know. I still like the Golgari logo a little better.
Yeah.
And Slothy, you're going to lead us out today with some questions from the Magic the Gathering Players Group Facebook group.
For sure. So we got a bunch of questions this week. So we're just going to get right off that. The first one's from Johnny. He says, what is your hopeful reprint in the D&D set? So
that's a good question.
Yeah.
I'm a D&D nerd. Slothy, you're a D&D nerd.
Yep.
Russ, are you a D&D nerd?
Not so much. I'm with John. I don't know too much about it, but I've been around several game stores, watched it played. People try to get me involved. I played a few rounds. Just wasn't for me. So I don't know any of the creatures necessarily I want to see from D&D, but the question was for reprints, correct?
It just says hopeful print.
Hopeful print. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty useless on this question too. So magic missile. There you go.
I'm going to say elves and squirrels. If you got any of those, I'm down.
Yeah, fair. I'm kind of hoping for them to actually kind of bring some of the spells into the game.
I am happy they've come out with Loth.
With what?
Loth is the spider queen in Dungeons.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really glad they came out with Loth. A little surprised it was one of the few that they spoiled early. No, but Loth, I'm really happy that they did that. So that would be one. A Gith Yankee would be.
Yeah.
I would really want to see. Now, I'm seeing things like Bag of Holding and the Word of Binding spell. You know, I'd love to see something like Blue Lips or Harry. There's a spell called Harry where you touch somebody, guys, and they grow a lot of hair on their body. You know, there's a spell called Harry. I'd like to see Harry, and I'd like to see a Gith Yankee. That's my answer.
Yeah. I wonder if they could have something that would play off like charisma or something, like actual stats in D&D. I don't know how they would incorporate it, but it'd be interesting to see if they did that.
That's what
I saw a spoiler somewhere where they're saying that the creature has to have gone on an adventure, I believe it is, or through a dungeon or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Well, there's talk, because I don't know anything yet. We got another 2 weeks before spoiler season comes apart, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that, too. Spoiler season starts on the 24th.
Wow.
Modern Horizons isn't even going to be open yet. We're going to start spoiler season of D&D.
I personally can't. This has been a long time waiting for me to report on it.
Yeah, me too.
I will say this too. It seems like D&D and Modern Horizons 2 were like already hot on each other's heels, like only being like, yeah, you know, like 5-6 weeks apart. And now that they push back Modern Horizons 2 a week, it's just like insane. There's going to be like legit no rest for the wicked. It's just going to be, you know, at Modern Horizons 2, straight into D&D. And it's just going to be like this, it's going to be an action-packed month.
Mm-hmm.
I heard.
Yeah, definitely.
I heard a rumor, and we don't like to talk about rumors on the podcast, but this is a Dungeons & Dragons Magic the Gathering rumor that I'm just going to put out there, that they're talking about certain lands being dungeons. We have states being lands. Well, these will be dungeon lands. That's the word on the street. The word on the street could be wrong, so I'm putting that out.
Interesting.
Well, that would make sense with the go through a dungeon thing. Like it would have to like maybe like spend like almost like a suspend. Like has to suspend on a land for a turn.
And it's kind
I'm speculating. I know.
Like I said, we don't normally speculate on the show, but again, Slothy, you're in a different country, and you're hearing this thing. That's interesting. Yeah. That is very interesting.
And and don't forget, we talked about this on MTG Roundtable too, that the possibility of trap cards, or more of them rather.
Oh yeah, like Yu-Gi-Oh, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much. But it could be, especially since there's tons of traps in said dungeons. So, you know.
All right, Slothy, lay another one on us.
All right, so this next one comes from Leo. And is Modern Horizons 2 too expensive?
All right. I'm going to go first, and make sure you direct all angry emails to John Noce. John Noce, please. No, it is not overpriced. It is underpriced.
Wow.
It is extraordinarily cheap for the value of cards you are getting, especially the collector's boxes. That is a very unpopular opinion, but yeah. They could have put a $500 price tag on that, and if you're looking to flip singles, you're still making money off of it.
Hmm.
That's saying something. That makes me want to go out and get Modern Horizons 2 Collector's Editions now.
Oh, I think you're too late now. I was looking on eBay. They're like already selling on eBay for like $410, $415.
Well, if I can get my money back.
Yeah. Oh, you'll get your money back. Oh, you'll get your money back at $415, I believe. But then, again, like I said,
I think it would be a little rough.
But you also have to take into account a variance, because there's always variance in collector's boxes. So if that's going to be your thing, if that you want to try to flip collector's boxes for singles, it's so hard to do, because you really need to buy a good amount. Like I generally buy 8 collector's boxes each set that comes out. I have 8 collector's boxes of Modern Horizons 2 coming in, just to cover that variance of from box to box, because you're going to get a stinker in there. It happens.
And what do you think, Russ?
Well, to be perfectly honest, if you manage to get your collectors early before release day, you're definitely going to make your money back. Now, after release day, we see this every set. It's nothing new. And I know I talk about this too much on MTG Roundtable, but you know, you got your FOMO pricing. People are fear of missing out. They want to get the singles in immediately right before release. So, right after release day, when there's actually product and people see the pull rate and all that fun stuff, you're going to see a massive drop in product. But I'm also finding out, like, through my subscribers, like, I'm actually trying to push the box breaks and stuff like that. I'm actively hardcore pushing, because people just don't want to pay the price. I mean, you know, this is it's essentially like a Modern Masters set, you know, or specialty set. And there's a lot of good cards in here. I agree with you, John, but people just have a hard time getting over the price point. I mean, we're talking, a collector's for a normal draft set, right? Is, usually around $200 to $250 for a collector's, but right now a set box for MH2, if you're lucky, I can get them for about $260 now. But when it first came out, pre-release pricing, like, oh my gosh, was it 2 months ago, was between $220 and $230. But that's the cost of a collector. So it's just rough. Right now, you're looking at about $400 plus for collectors of MH2. Now, think of the other specialty set, Commander Legends, right? Collectors. That one jumped up, but it was still slightly reasonable. It's still $200 when it first started. Right now, we're looking at $400 just to start, and it's just like, it's rough, you know?
You actually just proved my point that you're going to make your money back in singles. I feel like a lot of people are going to have that same mindset where it's just too expensive. I want X card. I'm not going to risk buying a full box. I'm not going to risk cracking a couple packs because I know I'm not going to hit it because it's a very big set. They're going to buy singles. I think you're going to see a substantial number of typical Magic players. I don't consider myself a typical Magic player because I don't open to create to construct decks. So I'm atypical. But I think that the normal, everyday, typical customer is going to buy singles in this set. I think that's going to be by far the norm as opposed to people buying sealed and just hoping to get what they get.
And Slothy, what do you think?
Being very biased towards the buying singles, I do think that it's overpriced. However, I do know kind of what Bedler was saying, that you will make your money back. It's just kind of getting over that initial hump of this much up front for me personally.
Oh, yeah. It's a very steep price of admission.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If the collector's is at 350, then, it stayed at 350. It'd still be rough, but I think you would be able to make your money back. At 400, you might break even, but you're going to see that huge drop after release, as in with every set. Yeah. So if you were able to get it early, you're golden. You'll make more than the box back. But after, yeah, exactly. But if you sell it after release date, like I'm going to end up probably getting my one collector's box because I'm poor. I'm probably going to get that box, and I don't know if I'll necessarily make my money back. But then again, my price point was 350, so I might be able to break even. I don't know.
Most ancillary products do not just drop off a cliff after release. It's different than a typical set. You have to remember that. Like Kaldheim just absolutely just plummeted off a cliff. It's like release plus two, it was tanking. But Time Spiral, prices actually went up after release for a couple of days, and then they started to plateau, and then they dropped off, and then they picked back up again as time went on. Ancillary products behave differently than normal set releases. It's very, very important to remember.
My answer is pretty vague. There is no MSRP,
mm-hmm.
and something is worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. Now, I personally go and get singles. The only time I buy a box like this is when I'm going to draft with my friends. I don't really gamble a lot, and go buy a box and hope to get that guy, But that's why I buy singles. But when I want to sit down with my friends and we all chip in on a box and we draft, that's when I'll go buy a box, But my answer is pretty vague. Something's worth whatever somebody's willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
This is absolutely true. Absolutely true. And I'll be the guinea pig for all of us, because I'll be opening my first collector's box. What day is it? Today's Sunday. I'll be opening my first one in 5 days. So
nice.
I will be a very good case study as to how the prices behave early on.
All right, Slothy, you got two more questions, right?
Yep. So the next two questions are more commander focused. All right. So it comes from William, and the question is, what are your favorite ways to steal commanders? So I kind of was looking through different ways that you could steal commanders permanently. And I kind of came up with three that are different. The first one is Aether Snatch. It is an instant for 4 and 2 blue, so it is rather expensive. But gain control of target spell. You may choose new targets for that. And then if that spell becomes a permanent, it enters the battlefield under your control. So this is one that you're going to want to play right when they cast their commander.
Hmm.
And then the next one, it is an enchantment aura for 2 a blue and a black. And it's got enchant creature. You control enchanted creature. And you can discard 2 cards and Soul's Ransom, which is the card. The Soul's Ransom's controller sacrifices it, then draws 2 cards. Only any opponent may activate this ability. So this is more on the political lines. Like maybe I want to gain control of your commander. Other opponent activates it to just get rid of the creature, send it back to the command zone or whatever.
Okay.
And then the third one is probably my favorite of the bunch. It's Evil Twin. It is a 0/0 shapeshifter for 2 a blue and a black. and you may have Evil Twin enter the battlefield as a copy of any creature on the battlefield, except it gains tap a blue and a black, and then tap the Evil Twin. Destroy target creature with the same name as this creature.
Okay.
Yeah, this one is... I wouldn't say a pet card, but I do enjoy it quite a lot.
I can see why.
Yeah.
On that same question, though, don't forget about the new commander, or not new commander, excuse me, but the new planeswalker, Gairdron Dahada? Is that how you pronounce it?
Something like that.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one seems like a super fun card. It's not my colors that I play, I mean, because that's blue in it, but it is super fun. She corrupts everyone, and then I think her ultimate, she gains control of each permanent with a corruption counter on it. So that's also a fun way that you could steal everyone's commander. Also, that black one from Commander Legends. I forget his name. He also does that, too. Stealing things. He literally steals all the commanders. Shot. Yes. So that could be a super fun way of doing that, too.
Yeah, definitely.
What was the name of it?
Tevishtot.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. All right, last question. This one came from an anonymous user to me. And the question is, I love playing Commander. I've mostly bought pre-cons and singles, but I would like to grow a collection so I can play more Commander. But I don't know which products to buy that are useful. I also would like to buy products that have the opportunity to maybe drop some expensive cards, such as Avacyn or Smothering Tithe, etc. What do you think are the best products that supplement the Commander format? So this is kind of a big question here.
It kind of harkens back to the whole argument of buying singles versus buying product.
Exactly. Because I think the best way to play Commander, because it is such a wide pool of cards, is to just buy the singles, because you don't have to buy packs from this set, that set. You can just get the cards that you want right away. But if you're looking for like a sealed product, I would say, honestly, the Brawl decks that came out with Throne of Eldraine have some pretty solid cards in there. You did mention Smothering Tithe, and that was in the Alayla one, I believe. And then with those ones, you've also got some powerful commanders in Alayla, Korvold, and Chulainn. But really, I would honestly just recommend buying the singles that you want. It'll kind of save you money in the long run, and you'll know exactly what you're getting for the price that you can get it for.
I fully agree with that. Like that's why I'm the peddlers, because I buy sealed and sell singles. But if I was going to make a commander deck, I would not even think about touching sealed product to do that. I would be like, all right, I'm going to construct my deck. I'm going to go and buy all the cards I need, and then I'm going to have my commander deck. Like, I would not even think about messing with sealed product, trying to build decks around.
I'm going to play devil's advocate. The product was made for Commander. There's a lot of fun stuff in it. Now, granted, if you want the flashy stuff, you're going to be paying through the nose on a collector's edition of Commander Legends. But the regular booster box isn't bad. I mean, you can still get around 100, 120 bucks. Gives you tons of options. I mean, it's singleton, so it's not like you need all the cards like in duplicate. But that would be a good one starting box if you want to crack some packs, have some fun, have a good chance of still getting some decent cards, such as Jeweled Lotus and Opposition Agent and the Apex. And there's a lot of fun stuff in there. A Hull Breacher. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So if you are looking for a sealed product, I would say go with the regular box.
Yeah.
If you got the money, go collectors, but you'll end up with more cards. You'll end up more rares and mythics in the collectors, but you're also looking at like $400 some odd. You can end up buying almost four boxes for that. I mean,
now,
Vince, yeah.
And
I have a question. I have a question about the question, actually. They said they already have a pre-con commander deck, and they're looking to supplement it, right?
Right. Mostly about pre-cons and singles, but I would like to grow a collection so I can play more commander.
Okay. So he or she is trying to basically, like, they have pre-con decks, but they're looking at like the homebrew their own. Okay. Cause I was going to say, cause if they're just looking to supplement, like if they say they have like a commander deck and they're just trying to supplement and trying to get sealed product out of it. Like with what Russ was saying, like maybe they want a Jeweled Lotus for it. Like I would not spend $100 on a draft box trying to chase a Jewel Lotus, so I can just buy a Jewel Lotus for like $75.
Exactly.
I'm just thinking of a pull, like he wants to have a pull of cards, and that is made for Commander, so that will give him tons of options to either build new Commanders or build new decks. It does give them some options if they want to buy a sealed product. Now, as far as any other sealed product goes, if you're looking just for legendaries, maybe Dominaria, but because they had a bunch of legendaries in that set too. If you want
legends, different...
tons of legendaries. Yeah,
no, I mean legends of the set. How deep are your pockets, sir?
Yeah,
up in the last 72 hours. But I do want to piggyback, or actually, there's a caboose on every train, right? The little end train.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, you buy singles or sealed product, check out our sponsor, NorthValleyGames.com.
There you go. Get that. Use John's code. Get 10% off your singles, man. I mean, that's store-wide and for everything. It's not just one item, so it's pretty sweet.
Not even exclusive to Magic the Gathering, either.
So if you're interested in that new D&D book with Strixhaven, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
If you're into that, there you go. Get it more affordable than anybody else. Well, that's going to do it for today's show, guys. Is there anything else you guys want to say before we let the listeners go?
Well, first off, obviously, thank you for having me on today. I appreciate it. It's nice not to have the host.
Russ. It's a different experience, right? Just being a guest as opposed to being the host.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Thank you again for coming back on the show, bud. We really
appreciate it. Yeah.
And just like the last time we did a podcast, Slothy and I both worked together to put up a YouTube video. So this will be up sooner or later. We have a different video we're going to be putting up for right now. So be on the lookout. So now you can comment below. Let us know what you guys think in the comments below.
And that would be pretty sweet. Make sure, I'm going to plug us again, John.
Yeah.
I want to see more people to our show on Thursday because it is super fun. We definitely are opinionated, different opinions. So that's the whole point of the MTG roundtables, to get different ideas and stuff going on in Magic.
I love going over to the MTG roundtable. I look forward to every Thursday. There have been some that I haven't been able to attend, but it is something I look forward to every week. And until next time, keep spell slinging.